Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast on this 13th of December 2016. As we discuss NFL Week 14 just completed, New England takes out Baltimore 30-23 in what looked like it was going to be a laugher around halftime or in early in the third quarter, but furious comeback that came up short by the Baltimore Ravens, who again always played New England tough. Have absolutely no fear whatsoever of the Patriots, but came up short tonight, 30-23. Of course, big play. Chris Hogan catches a 79-yard touchdown pass from Tom Brady, who went over 400 yards tonight, three touchdowns, one interception, to make it 30-21. Gave New England some breathing room. Baltimore drove down the field, but just took entirely too long on that last drive they had that ended up. Ended up with a Justin Tucker field goal, 4 minutes, 10 plays, 4 minutes. That was too long at that point when it was a two-score game. Then, even despite the fact that they had two timeouts, the two-minute warning, John Harbaugh decides, for whatever reason, to do an onside kick. I guess he had, zero confidence that his defense would get the ball back. So I guess that was the whole idea. But, again, I would have just kicked it out of bounds. And had them go, try to go to the left of the field again with two timeouts and the ball. Excuse me, with two timeouts and a 2 minute warning. But Harbaugh thought otherwise. New England recovers the onside kick and ends up running out the clock to win 30-23. Again, Tom Brady goes over 400 yards. New England, for all intents and purposes, is going to be the number one seed in the AFC. They have a better conference record than Kansas City, who right now stands at number two, and a better conference record than the Raiders, who are at number five, but have the second best record in the conference behind New England, tied with Kansas City. Of course, Kansas City has that tiebreaker because they swept Oakland, completed the sweep on Thursday night, 21-13. So all roads going to go through Foxborough, more than likely. But again, this New England team is not invincible by any stretch of imagination. Flacco had a big second half. At one point, completed like 14 or 15 passes, over 300 yards passing in his own right. So this is not a vintage New England defense, to say the least. No Gronkowski. So again, they're the slight favorites to get a Super Bowl, but certainly they can be taken out. I can think of at least three teams that could take them out in terms of Kansas City, Pittsburgh, just to name two just off the top of my head. So, but they will go into the playoffs as the favorites to get the slight favorites to get to Super Bowl 51. 347-215-6180. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast as we just completed a NFL week 14. When we return, a defensive gem at the MetLife and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast, this special midnight edition as we go late tonight, wrapping up week 14 of the NFL season. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at William Giro or go to Instagram at Real Giro Quinn. The G-Men in the game of the week take out the Cowboys for the second time this season, 10-7. Giants improve to 9-4 in the season. Cowboys fall to 11-2. If you love defense, you love this game. This was a defensive gem by both teams, especially the Giants, who held the Cowboys to just 260 yards of total offense, 7 points, gave up the one big play to Terrence Williams. That was the only mistake the Giant defense made all game long. They were phenomenal. The secondary, the pass rush, especially the pass rush in the fourth quarter. Again, this was the defensive performance of the year as far as I'm concerned, even better than the one Seattle and Arizona put up in that 6-6 tie. The Giants were absolutely all over the place. For the second game, harassed Dak Prescott, who was only 17-37, had the interception, had a couple of interceptions, and just, you know, and really controlled Ezekiel Elliott after halftime. First half, he had 86 yards. He was held to just 21 yards at halftime. Of course, the Giants struggled on offense. To say, you know, Eli had a couple of turnovers, but, you know, Dallas defense played well also. Giants got the one big play out of Beckham, who had a couple of drops, but did come up with the long touchdown catch for 69 yards that proved to be the game winner. And the Giants, again, for the second time this season, the only team in the NFL that has beaten the Cowboys, and frankly, a team that the Cowboys want zero, and I mean zero part of in the playoffs. You're a Cowboy fan. You hope the Giants just don't even make the playoffs, to be honest with you, because the Giants clearly have the blueprint on how to beat the Cowboys. They have a defensive line that can stand up to it, even without Pierre Paul. And they might get Pierre Paul back in the playoffs, but even without Pierre Paul, they have a physical defensive line that can stand up to the Cowboy offensive line. And the Giants, frankly, this year have one of the best secondaries in the league. I mean, that secondary now is healthy with Rodgers Cromartie, and Janoris Jenkins. And by the way, they might even have the defense player of the year in Landon Collins. That is a tremendous secondary. And again, that secondary was all over the Cowboy receivers. Dez Bryant was a non-factor, had the fumble at the end that clinched the game for the Giants. Cole Beasley, those guys were just completely blanketed by the Giants secondary. And all of a sudden, the Giants now have made themselves and turned themselves into a player here moving forward in the NFC. There's no two ways about it. They're 9-4. They're probably going to, I mean, again, they would have to have a major collapse to not make the playoffs. They're probably going to make the playoffs, probably going to need to win one more game to make the playoffs. But and that Washington game might not mean anything to them on January 1st if they take care of business before then. But a tremendous win for the New York Football Giants, 10-7. A game, again, I enjoy those type of games. I mean, a lot of people are complaining about the Arizona Seattle tie 6-6. Listen, I love great defense. I mean, I love great defenses almost. I'd much rather see a game like that than even a 51-48 game where nobody is playing any defense and where guys missing tackles and where offense is just going up and down the field. I frankly prefer a defensive game, and that was some great defense on both sides. But the Giants prevail 10-7. See the Cowboys, of course, host Tampa Bay next week on Sunday Night Football. Cowboys, again, the NFL is going to put the Cowboys, you see what the ratings look like when the Cowboys are on national television, Monday night games. So we're going to see a lot of the Cowboys moving forward. This might be the last meaningful game the Cowboys play until the playoffs start. If they win, they'll go to 12-2 over Tampa Bay. And, you know, with Seattle struggling right now and Detroit having a tough schedule, Cowboys might take the season off after week, which will be week 15. Who knows how they're going to play out the rest of the week, rest of the year. But they're going to have the number one seed. That's without question. Giants still have an outside chance to get the number one seed if they both finish with the same record. Giants probably more than likely would have to run the table to even have a chance at that. But with the sweep of the Cowboys, but the Giants solidified their playoff position with that win. They're more likely going to be in the wild card. The question is whether or not they finish fifth or sixth. They could finish no higher than fifth. In terms of the playoffs, because of divisional leaders. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll talk about the team, the Washington football team, that and much, much more coming up on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. After the midnight hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast, as we look back at a Week 14 NFL action, Washington takes out Philadelphia 27-22 in what was not the prettiest game for the Redskins, to say the least. But at this point in the season, when every win, every game is the biggest for the Redskins, they needed this in the worst way. They improved their record to 7-5-1. Still looking on the outside in, but just a half game out of the sixth playoff spot behind the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who of course are at 8-5. Listen, it wasn't pretty by any stretch of imagination, but the thing you like about it, you know, from a Redskins standpoint, is a game, if you're a coach, that you can build on. Number one, you win the game. Number two, you know you have the team's attention. Washington, for the second straight game, really came out flat in the first quarter. You know, Philadelphia missed opportunities to kind of stretch the lead out. They had an interception at 3-0 that could have made it 10-0. And again, the story of this game was the Washington defense, you know, on both sides. The Washington defense, number one, not being able to get off the field, but in the second half, the Washington defense really locking Philly down and only giving up a field goal, and only giving up a field goal, as Philadelphia's other score was a pick six. By McLelvin on a Kirk Cousins pass that, you know, shouldn't have been thrown. It was a poor read by Kirk Cousins. Not a terrible throw, but it's just a bad read. The cornerback undercut the throw and took it back for six. I'm not gonna go crazy on the Washington defense because it would be too easy, to be honest with you. The Washington defense right now, and they lost Cravens and Compton for who knows how long. I mean, they're trying to find out what Cravens, you know, with the bicep injury. I haven't heard anything on latest about it, whether it's torn or not. I know Compton's injury showed, you know, that Compton's injury wasn't too serious. So, you know, both of them, I mean, who knows about their status for next week. They'll have an extra day as they will host Carolina on Monday Night Football next week. But you know the Washington defense, what you do know is they're going to give up some big plays, but they're going to put pressure on the quarterback. And they've had, you know, this year they have had five times where they had a chance to close the game out, and four out of those five times they've been able to close the game out, which in football is great. May not be great in baseball, four out of five saves, but in football you'll sign up for that tomorrow. So I'm not going to get on the Washington defense. Again, this game almost turned when Kirk Cousins threw that pick six. And at a point in the game where it was 21-13, where, you know, all you had to do was put one more score on the board and the game's out of reach. I mean, Philadelphia's offense was basically non-existent in the second half after a big first half. Second straight game, Washington's been outgained. But again, they came up with some big turnovers on Philadelphia. One, that prevent a touchdown. The second one, of course, the forced fumble by Ryan Kerrigan, recovered by Trent Murphy to seal the deal for the Redskins and help keep their playoff hopes alive. Philadelphia did play hard at least, coming off an embarrassing performance against Cincinnati last week. They did play hard. I thought Wentz played well. You know, Zach Ertz played well. You know, Philadelphia's defense is not, you can move. Washington really hasn't had trouble moving the ball, fit up his defense this year. Now they didn't do as good a job as they did in the first game. First game, they almost had 500 yards of offense. I thought Philadelphia's defense played much better against Washington's offensive line in this particular game, even with a healthy Trent Williams back, who was was the main reason for that Chris Thompson touchdown that ended up winning the game for the Redskins. But again, overall for the Redskins, you're going to take the win and move on and get ready for the stretch run as they will host Carolina, go to Chicago, and finish home to the New York Giants. Again, couple of things, to be worried about moving forward if you're watching Redskins fans. Number one, Kirk Cousins has not been good against pressure defense over the past couple of weeks. So the more rushes that have been sent at him since at his direction, he's not been as good. That's something to keep your eye on. And the suspect play calling continues. Washington, before that 4th-and-1 conversion where they were in shotgun, they had a 3rd-and-1 and decided instead of running the ball, they decided to go in shotgun. And again, that's the kind of play call. At that point, you just run the football, get the first down. That's the most important thing, is getting the first down. So I didn't understand that play call at that particular time in the game. Pierre Garçon played well. You had Deshaun Jackson had a big touchdown catch. He always kills Philadelphia. Yeah, I mean, he just always does. Whether he's has had some big games against them as a Washington Redskins. So, and I know there's some rumors that he might go back there. Who knows? We'll see. That's a conversation for the offseason. But he had a nice game over 100 yards with that 80-yard touchdown catch. The 80-yard touchdown catch against Philadelphia. Again, he always destroys the Eagles no matter what. I don't care if he's hurt, banged up, hurt, or whatever. He's going to find a way to play and play well against the Philadelphia Eagles. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll talk some Heisman Trophy as well as more Week 14 action in a league where no contract is guaranteed. This is the Cyril Joaquin Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Four 7 2 1 5 6 1 8 0 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Joaquin Sports Podcast. The poll question of the night is: which one of these teams is the most dangerous right now? Who are surging in the league? Whether it's the New York Giants, football Giants, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, or even amazingly, the Green Bay Packers. And that's where we will. That's where we continue. Green Bay 38-10 over Seattle. Green Bay improves to 7-6, their third straight win. Seattle falls to 8-4-1. I was not surprised by the fact that Green Bay won this game, but I was shocked that they won it handily as they did, forcing six Seattle turnovers, including 5 Russell Wilson interceptions. Demarius Randall is back in the mix for Green Bay. That certainly helped out a lot. Aaron Rodgers, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, a clean 18 for 23. Didn't have to do much work in the second half as this game was already decided. Green Bay, Green Bay's playing well right now. And, the Philly game, people said, Philly has no offense. Houston, at home should beat them. This was a game that shows you that Green Bay is close to being, if not, they're not back. They're almost at the point to where you have to seriously take them take them very seriously if they don't make the playoffs. If they do make the playoffs, you really don't want to see the Green. If you're Dallas, you're Seattle, you don't want to see Green Bay in the playoffs. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you much rather deal with Matthew Stafford than Aaron Rodgers any day of the week. Again, Green Bay's playing well right now. They're probably going to need to run the table. Who knows with the AFC, but they're certainly more than capable of running the table the way they're playing right now. Again, 38-10 over the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle's going to win that division, so it's going to be a matter of where Seattle finishes second or third. They're going to win that division as they fall to 8-4-1. Again, it's a matter of them finishing second, third, or fourth. I guess they can conceivably finish behind Atlanta. Even though they did beat Atlanta. I would have to check that conference record and see where they stand with that. But I know they had the head to head with Atlanta, beat Atlanta earlier this season. Miami over Arizona, 26-23 in overtime. A sloppy game, 7 turnovers between the two teams. Not in overtime. This game actually ended in regulation. It was almost went to overtime, but 23-20 in regulation. Franks makes a kick at the end. You have Ryan Tannehill going down. Now, this is where people have to be careful. They had reports coming out, like right after the injury, that the guy had a torn ACL. And that basically he's going to be done for the season. Now comes out today that it's just a left ACL and MCL sprain. So, and that's what happens all the time. You get these news reports who are, want to be first to everything, breaking news. And you got the guy out for the season. The guy might only be out for 2 weeks. So that certainly was great news for Miami. We don't know how he's not going to play this week. We know that for sure. Miami got that win under their belt. They go to 8-5. Arizona falls to 5-7-1. Their season is finished. I know the Washington victory almost kept some hopes alive for Arizona. But this wasn't going to be Arizona's year. We saw that early on this year. Certainly earlier this year with some of the results that they have, they fall to 4-5, 7-1 again. 7 turnovers for in this game between the two teams. Sloppy game, some bad tough weather conditions with the rain. But Miami comes out on top, 26-23, as they were led by Matt Moore after Tannehill went down with the injury. Tampa Bay, New Orleans over New Orleans, 16-11. Tampa Bay improves to 8-5 on the season. New Orleans falls to 8-5-8 and certainly more than likely out of the playoff hunt. Take a minor miracle for them to get back in it. For the second straight game, Drew Brees is held without a touchdown pass. The first time since 2009 that he's won back-to-back games without a touchdown pass. The Tampa Bay again won this game with their defense after jumping out to a 13-3 start on New Orleans. New Orleans kind of stabilized the game with a field goal and a safety and kind of scratched and clawed their way to get to 16-11. But again, 3 Drew Brees interceptions. Winston didn't have to do too much. Just let the defense carry on home. And again, Tampa Bay defense has had some two big time performances. One against Seattle and now against the potent New Orleans offense, which has the number one offense in the league in terms of yards. Again, New Orleans offense has found the worst time to have. Drew Brees picked the worst time to have two of his worst games of the season. New Orleans will not make the playoffs this year. Tampa Bay is well on their way, but certainly has a tough schedule moving forward at Dallas, at New Orleans. So we'll see what happens with that. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll get into the Heisman Trophy and more Week 14 action. This is the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Of course, you just watched Monday Night Football. New England takes out Baltimore 30-23. They hang on after almost blowing a 23-3 lead. Baltimore got it within three at 23-20. But then Tom Brady went deep to Chris Hogan for a 79-yard touchdown to make it 30-20, give him some breathing room. Baltimore kicked the field goal, but couldn't do enough, could not recover the onside kick. New England runs the clock out and improves to 11-2 on the season. Baltimore falls to 7-6, a game behind the Pittsburgh Steelers, who took out the Buffalo Bills 27-20. Pittsburgh improves to 8-5 on the season. Buffalo falls to 6-7. This game was not as close as the score indicated. Pittsburgh had three turnovers, three Ben Roethlisberger interceptions. Otherwise, they dominated this game. Pittsburgh over 400 yards, 406 yards of total offense, and it was simply the Le'Veon Bell show. Le'Veon Bell was responsible for 298 yards of total offense by himself, 236 yards rushing, three touchdowns. He simply just dominated this football game from start to finish. Pound for pound, in my opinion, still the best running back in football, considering that he not only, you know, is a great runner and patient, one of the more patient runners, but he is a tremendous, a Marshall Faulk-like wide receiver at the running back position. I mean, he's that good as a wide receiver. Would probably be better than half the receivers in the league. It was his game, even in the snow, from the start. And again, this game, only reason this game was close, it was because of the Pittsburgh turnovers. Of course, Buffalo, they outrushed Buffalo 240-67. Buffalo came into this game as the number one rushing team in the league. Pittsburgh's defense is playing well right now. Second straight good quality performance for them. We know what they have offensively. They're going to be a handful if they get in the playoffs. And I still think, you know, it's going to come down to Pittsburgh and Baltimore for that division title. Baltimore having won the first game, I think that game is going to decide which one of those teams goes to the playoffs. Of course, as we all know, only one of those teams is going to the playoffs, because the AFC North is only going to get one team out that division, and that's going to be either Pittsburgh or Baltimore. Detroit takes out Chicago 20-17. Again, Detroit improves to 9-4 in the season, and this is what Detroit win does. Their eighth come from behind win of the season in the fourth quarter. Matthew Stafford did not have a spectacular day, to say the least. Only 21-35 for 223, a couple of picks and a touchdown. But again, you know, when you're a big time quarterback, it doesn't matter what numbers you put up. Your job is to win the game, get your team in the end zone. And that's what Stafford did, with the score being 17-13. Guys' team had a 7-yard touchdown run. The Bears played well in this game. I mean, the defense had a pick six. Barkley had a couple of touchdowns, looked good for the second straight week for the most part. Fox has done a terrible job with that Bears team, because the Bears have more talent than what their record shows. They really do. I mean, the running back has played well this year. I know they lost Alshon Jeffrey, but they have a couple of pass rushers on defense that kind of go under the radar. The Bears are better than what they've shown. Again, John Fox has done an awful job with that team this year. They play hard more games than not. They've gotten a couple close games, but I think they've somewhat underachieved despite all the nonsense with Jay Cutler. But again, I anticipate that John Fox will be back coaching the Bears next season. Denver falls to Tennessee 13-10. Impressive defensive performance by Tennessee, which is not known for their defense. Tennessee improves to 7-6. Denver falls to 8-5. Despite being held to 253 yards, the Denver offense just, what does Denver is their lack of a running game, because Simeon actually played well in this game, went for over 300 yards. He wasn't the problem. Denver was outrushed 180-18 by Tennessee. DeMarco Murray had a nice game, 21 carries for 92 yards. This is, you know, it's very rare that you win a game with your starting quarterback going 6-for-20 for 88 yards, but that was the case with Tennessee and Mariota, as the Denver offense couldn't do anything. I'm not going to make go crazy about the Harry Douglas, Akia Tlaib play. We see that play all the time. Could it be avoided? Yes. But was it illegal? No. So that's the bottom, you know, that's the bottom line. Denver's going to have a hard time making the playoffs. I know they're 8-5 and still in the mix, but they have host New England at Kansas City, host Oakland. They're going to hope that that Oakland game doesn't mean anything toward, you know, for Oakland. Oakland might have already a playoff spot clinched by then. They're going to hope that. But because Oakland right now is at 10-3. But, you know, home to New England at Kansas City will not be easy for the Denver Broncos, who just, again, have a world-class defense, but their offense right now is sputtering. Again, when they struggle on the offense, they absolutely struggle to run the football. Of course, this week, you got the Heisman Trophy going to Lamar Jackson, which is not a surprise. I mean, he was a ridiculous favorite with the Vegas odds. If I had to vote myself, I would have voted for Deshaun Watson. If you watch Lamar Jackson in the last month of the season, they got embarrassed by Houston when they only scored 10 points, and he had some big turnovers in the upset against Kentucky when they were basically like a 25-point favorite. And, you know, Louisville in football should never lose to Kentucky. So I couldn't give him the Heisman based off those performances versus a guy in Deshaun Watson who's only lost 2 games in the last 2 years as a starting quarterback and play. And, you talk to any of those Alabama people, they say that was one of the best performances that any offensive player has ever put up against that defense. This year he loses a game against Pittsburgh that ends up being ranked by 1 point and throws for about 580 yards passing. So I think I would give it to Watson. Now, again, it was Lamar Jackson was the safe choice. It was the lazy choice. He was also the safe choice in the matter because there was no other candidate that blew you away. This is not a situation. Don't get this mistaken for Marshall Faulk and Gino Toretta, where this is a highway robbery. You know, if you remember that far back, and I know I'm dating myself here, in 1992, Marshall Faulk was by far and away the best player in college football, but they gave it to Gino Toretta, Miami versus San Diego State. And it seemed like it was more of an MVP type award where, you know, Miami was going to be playing for a national championship against Alabama, a game in which, of course, they were embarrassed by Alabama in that particular national championship in the Sugar Bowl. But it gave us a Toretta on popularity and the fact that San Diego State was not a big college at that point. But Marshall Faulk, anybody who watched Marshall Faulk in 1992 knows that Marshall Faulk was clearly, I mean, it wasn't even close, the best team, the best player in college football. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, his luck finally ran out. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of, I shouldn't call it luck, his time finally ran out, of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Minnesota 25, Jacksonville 16. Minnesota keeping their playoffs hopes alive at 7-6. Jacksonville, you know, season to season cannot be over with quick enough. Cannot end quick enough for the Jaguars, who will have a new head coach in 2017. They fall to 3-10. 21 penalties in this game. You saw Mike Zimmer return to the sidelines following the eye surgery. Bradford had a pretty good day, but again, playing against Jacksonville, all you got to do is basically show up. I mean, they are just an awful football team. They're just not only really, a bad football team; they're just horrible to watch. Watch that team play. Again, I can I thought Jacksonville this year was going to be one of my surprise picks. I thought they were going to have a nice year, challenge for a division, possibly playoff spot. And I missed that by a country mile because they've been just god awful this year. Minnesota did enough to get the win. If you're Minnesota, you just take the win on the road and get about a dodge. Again, they still keep their playoff hopes alive at 7-6. Atlanta embarrasses the Rams 42-14. Atlanta improves to 8-5, staying alive for that division battle with Tampa. The Rams, of course, fall to 4-9, and this would be the last game ever coached by Jeff Fisher as a Los Angeles Ram, as the head coach of Los Angeles Rams. Fisher, of course, was fired. Was fired on Monday, having tied the record for most losses in NFL history with Dan Reeves, and just coming off of, remember last week he got a 2-year contract extension, which just had you shaking your head. Consider this about Jeff Fisher: first of all, he hadn't had a winning season. All his winning seasons came with the Tennessee Titans. He went to the Super Bowl in 1999. Came up, a yard short of tying the game. Everybody knows with that play and that tremendous Super Bowl with Kurt Warner and what have you. But, he had some great years with Tennessee, did nothing with the Rams. I mean, nothing. Think about this, 2016, hadn't had a winning season since 2008. And some of the coaches that are up there amongst the coaches with the most losses, We are talking about icons. We're talking about guys like Don Shula and Curly Lambeau and Chuck Noll, Tom Landry. So if you coached that long, if you have that many losses on your record, that means you've coached for a very long time. And most coaches with losing records don't last long enough to accumulate that many losses. That's what Jeff Fisher is, the outlier. Like, this guy, I mean, I don't think we'll ever see a coach go this long without winning, and forget about Super Bowls, without having a winning season and coach this long in today's NFL. I just don't think it was something that we will ever see. I mean, again, this guy didn't have a winning season the entire time he's with the Rams. And again, you have to go back to 2008 for him, to find a Jeff Fisher, a winning season for Jeff Fisher. This firing was probably 4 to 5 years late as far as I'm concerned. John Fossil, the son of Jim Fossil, takes over as the interim coach. He'll keep the seat warm for like the last three games because he's not going to be the head coach next year. I guarantee you that. We've already heard some talk about Jim Harbaugh. I don't think Jim Harbaugh will leave Michigan to take that job, to be honest with you. I'm telling you right now, they're coming up. They need a they will have a new stadium in 2019. Stan Kroenke will throw a boatload of money at Jim Harbaugh's feet. I guarantee you. Come over, Jim. You're a California guy. We're coming with a new stadium. You have a ready-made defense. You have a young quarterback who you can groom and build. We saw what you did with Alex Smith. You have a great young running back. There's some things. There's some good things about the Rams. I mean, the Rams are not the Browns. Okay, they have some talent. And that's one of the things that frustrated people about Fisher. He wasted a ready-made defense and a top running back because he just couldn't do nothing offensively. I mean, Todd Gurley called the offense a middle school offense. So I don't know if that was the straw that broke the camel's back. But when you lose the locker room, number one, when you lose the locker room, that'll get you fired, of course. But also, number two, when you start seeing those empty seats in stadiums, in 70,000, 80,000 seat stadiums, that'll get you fired even quicker. So if you're Stan Kroenke, you just moved the franchise back to L.A., you need a big name. You need somebody that's going to put people in the seats. You need somebody that the team's going to believe in. I guarantee you they will go big name and not just hot coordinator. They're going to go after big name. Don't be surprised if after the season, after the college football season is over, you hear Nick Saban. I'm telling you, they're gonna go big with in terms of the names here, in terms of the name, without question. So there are about 8 to 10 candidates that you can see possibly going to the Rams with the interview process. Be very interesting because that's a good job. It's a quality job, big market, ready-made defense. You have a young quarterback you can groom. You'll have some veteran quarterbacks that'll be available. If you don't think, if you think Goff can just sit another year or two, Romo, Cutler. So we'll see what happens with that. Again, Jeff Fisher's out as the head coach of the St. Louis Rams. Houston takes out Indianapolis 22-17. 185 yards rushing for Houston, despite the fact that Brock Osweiler did nothing, and he does next to nothing in most of these games. Again, if for Indianapolis, if Andrew Luck doesn't play like Superman, they just don't have a chance. Luck was just 24 of 45, two touchdowns, two interceptions. Houston is in total control of that division, despite only having a one-game lead because they are 4-0. They are 4-0 within the division. So Houston improves to 6-7. Indianapolis falls to 6. Houston improves to 7-6. Excuse me. Indianapolis falls to 6-7. Houston is tied with Tennessee, but again, 4-0 with the division. They are, you know, they control that division right now. 347-215-6180 is your call number. As we discuss NFL Week 14, top five teams. After tonight's game, after the Thursday night game, I gotta lean towards Kansas City as being the most complete team in football right now. So to me, I have them number one. New England still a favorite, but I have them number two. Oakland number three. That was not a bad loss at Kansas City on the road, tough place to play. Seattle number four because I still trust the pedigree and Pete Carroll as well. And Dallas number five, two back-to-back performances, back-to-back elite defenses have shut down the Dallas offense. So we'll see how that goes moving forward. So those are my top five teams. Of course, we began the program talking about New England defeating the Baltimore Ravens 30-23. I still think that the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game will decide that division and that one and only playoff spot, and that only one team is coming out that division in terms of making the playoffs. Of course, you also had Dallas, the New York Giants, with the defensive performance of the year, taking out the Cowboys 10-7. That was a great performance by the Giant defensive line, in particular their secondary. Again, despite the fact they having no JPP, that secondary was spectacular. You saw Beckham making one big play. The Giants overcoming a couple of mistakes by Eli. But the Giants take out the Cowboys for the second time this year, showing you that it was not a fluke. It controlled Ezekiel Elliott, 107 yards, but again, 86 of those yards came in the first half. They controlled him, kept him out the end zone. They had one mistake defensively, and that was the Terrence Williams. That was the Terrence Williams touchdown, where he was wide open and where there was clearly a blown assignment. But other than that, they were near perfect over the course of the game and really dominated the Dallas Cowboy offense. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of Zero Zero Sports Podcast. I will see you next time. Have a great rest of the week.